Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of Imperial Beverage Presents Another Round. Today, I'm joined by Jim Cook from Acrobat Wines. And Hannah, if we need to chat about something, thank you so much for joining us today, Jim.
Happy to, Jacob. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it and hope everybody's doing well out there.
Absolutely. First, do you mind introducing yourself a little bit and kind of what you do with Acrobat?
Sure. Many of you know me from sales meeting or work in the market in Michigan. My name is Jim Cook. I am the region sales manager for Foley Family Wines. I cover the state of Ohio, the great state of Michigan, and Indiana as well. And Acrobat is one of Foley's priority growth brands that we invest internally a lot of our resources to grow and get a lot of exposure on the brand because we believe it's a bottle of wine that everybody should have in their house all the time.
And there's a lot of good reasons for that. Acrobat is a Oregon-grown wine. They have three products, if I remember correctly. There's a Pinot Grigio, Pinot Noir, and a Rosé, right?
And actually a Chardonnay as well. So there's four in the lineup. Pinot Gris is our most important or exposed item of the four wines, followed by Pinot Noir number two. Rosé would be third. And then Chardonnay is not a huge production for us, but you'll see a lot of wineries, not just Foley wineries, starting to experiment and play with Chardonnay in Oregon itself.
We were recently talking to some of the Michigan winemakers. We had a Michigan winemaker roundtable, and that was one of the topics that came up is Chardonnay has a lot of room to grow and a lot of opportunities to play with it. And it's exciting to see what some of the industries are doing with it now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's the second most widely planted grape variety in the world. There's Chardonnay, obviously, from France and California. Now, Oregon, Washington, Italy, Germany, South America. So it's grown pretty much anywhere wine is being made. It's a pretty versatile grape variety.
For sure. And these, of course, would be grown in Oregon as well.
Absolutely.
Great. Do you mind telling us a little bit of background on Acrobat Wines, kind of their story, you know?
Yeah, of course. So Acrobat was actually originally started by the King Estate Winery, an unaffiliated winery to Foley. They launched the brand in 2009, trying to get some wines at a more affordable price point out to the general consumer when back in 2009, Oregon wines weren't as widely known or available, say, in the Midwest as they are today. They did a very nice job building the brand. And back in spring of 2018, Bill Foley approached the King family and offered to purchase the brand from him. So in 2018, we became the company representing and making Acrobat wines. Since then, we're around a 200,000 case brand nationally, again, led by those four different varietals of Pinot Gris, Pinot Noir, Rosé, and Chardonnay. And it's been a really fun project. It's been one of the brands that's really put Oregon on the map for the kind of price seeker looking to try Oregon wines and not spend their paycheck on a bottle. So it's been a really fun brand to talk about and to sell. They're approachable, they're easy drinking. And I always kind of put them in the category of fire pit wines. When we get that perfect weather in Michigan in the fall, it's a bottle you can spend $15 on, crack at a fire pit, and everybody's happy.
That's fabulous. Absolutely love that.
Acrobat itself has a winemaker by the name of Tim Jones. For those of you familiar with the Four Graces Winery in the Dundee Hills, represented and owned by Foley, Tim is the winemaker there as well. We have an assistant winemaker named Rachel Hilo, who is helping Tim in the vineyards and with the blends and tanks and all the fun stuff of winemaking. And we have vineyards across Oregon. So everyone knows the Willamette Valley. That's the most famous wine growing region in Oregon. If you're not knowing how to say Willamette, just it's easy, Willamette, damn it, and you'll remember forever. But we also have two other growing regions. One is called the Umpqua Valley, which is a little south and just a hair west of Willamette. And then the Rogue Valley, which is more towards the southern border of the state of Oregon. We have a total of 17 different vineyards in which we are using fruit from to make our Pinot Gris, our Chard, and our Rosé. Seven of which are in the Willamette, three of which are in Umpqua, and three of which are in Rogue. And not to get too wine nerdy here, but being able to get fruit from those two lesser known valleys is part of the reason our cost is a little bit more affordable to the consumer and to the retailer. Single vineyard Willamette Valley wines can be really expensive, $50, $60, $100, $200 a bottle, whereas some of those other vineyards in those other areas help keep our costs down and affordable to the everyday wine drinker. So our Pinot Gris, I'll give you a fun fact about that first. Back in 2016, the Acrobat Pinot Gris was named Wine Enthusiast Best Buy Wine of the Year. So Wine Enthusiast does a lot of different lists, you know, top 100, a top Best Buys, a top seller selection. And in that 16 vintage, it was the number one Best Buy for the whole year. And it was the first Oregon wine to crack the top spot. So it's a little cool, you know, feather in our cap as Acrobat to say we were able to accomplish that for the Oregon wine industry. It's kind of a big, big praise to say. So that's kind of a fun fact. The Pinot Gris itself is exactly what you want from a $15 bottle of wine. It's fresh and easy to drink. It can be kind of that patio pounder wine as spring is finally sprung in the Midwest, but it is good with seafood. It's good with a salad. It can pair with food really well. It can be your Tuesday wine. It can be your Saturday wine. It's just one of those really versatile ones that's great for by the glass, great for retail, great for displays, and just kind of something that you should have in your, you know, in your refrigerator at any time someone wants to have a fresh glass of white wine. So moving on to our Chardonnay, again, a little bit of a lesser known grape variety in Oregon, but certainly a well-known grape variety in the wine industry. The saying is cab is king, but Chard is queen. So they're making it a lot of places. Our Chardonnay is the 2021 vintage, and that vintage was a really warm vintage. It made the fruit very concentrated, but also really rich in style. So we age our Chardonnay in neutral French oak barrels. The big point of neutral French oak means you're not getting those classic California styles of big, buttery, oaky, rich. It just gives a little bit more of an aromatic to the wine. So it's kind of right in that sweet spot of an unoaked versus an oaked and buttery Chardonnay. It's kind of right in the middle there. So you get notes of apple and key lime and apricot, a refreshing Chardonnay, a little bit more serious than our Pinot Gris, but still a great wine that you can kick open, you know, on a Tuesday and not feel guilty about having a glass or two. We make a little bit less of the Chardonnay than we do of the Pinot Gris. That's just because there's not as many vineyards planted to the grape variety as, say, Pinot Gris, Pinot Noir, et cetera, et cetera. So if you haven't tried the Acrobat Chard, I would encourage you guys to try it. I hope everyone's tried the Pinot Gris, but I would certainly encourage you to try the Chard and experience maybe a new varietal from Acrobat that you haven't had in the past. From Chardonnay, we'll move on to our rosé. Our rosé is certainly a springtime, summertime wine, but great sneaky pairing, great with Thanksgiving. That's something that people don't always think about, but I know we're not in the holidays, but keep that in your back pocket for when we are. Our rosé is made from 100% Pinot Noir grapes. Most of the vineyards are in the Willamette Valley. There are a few in the Rogue Valley, just again, keeping that cost down. For our rosé, we ferment with the skins on, you know, Pinot Noir being a red grape. Ferment with the skins on, and then we pull those off after just a day, and that gives that pretty pink color. So instead of the big riper fruit flavors you get in Pinot, you get more strawberry or raspberry or a little bit of citrus note to it because it just doesn't have as long of those skin contacts to develop those big, rich red wine flavors, which is intentional, obviously. Our rosé is great as an aperitif. Again, I kind of fall back to that patio pounder mentality with this brand. But also, you know, this can go with chicken on the grill or burgers. I love rosé in the summer because you maybe don't want to drink something heavy and red, but you want some of those fruit flavors. So rosé fits that bill perfectly. I've been banging the drum on rosé for about 20 years now. I feel like everyone's finally come to the party. So it's good that we've got an option, not just at a great price point, but an Oregon rosé, because there's not a ton of those out in the market. We see a lot of California. And I think having Acrobat as an availability for Oregon rosé gives us a little bit of a differentiation point when you're talking rosés with your customer, because there are a lot out there. So then the last wine in the lineup is our Pinot Noir, and Pinot is obviously what has made Oregon famous, Willamette Valley famous specifically. So our Pinot Noir is special because we can give it to the consumer for under $20. I keep citing that Rogue and Umpqua Valley fruit, but there's great vineyards down there that we're pulling from to be able to make it affordable. I've made the argument, I think, in some sales meetings. So if I'm repeating myself, I apologize. But Oregon Pinot Noir drinkers, to me, are the most loyal in terms of what they want to stick to. If you try to get an Oregon wine drinker to drink California or French or Argentine or wherever else, they're going to say, no, I am loyal to Oregon. So what Acrobat does is give this at a buy-the-glass opportunity for $14 a glass or $20 retail to have that Oregon Pinot on a Tuesday and not be at a special occasion birthday wine for $50, $60, $70. That's why I think this wine is so great, because it is such a loyal following. And, you know, our trends and our popularity with the Acrobat brand certainly dictate that the consumer is going in that direction and spending that money for a great quality wine for under $20.
For sure. Well, and there's a whole story behind Oregon. I mean, Oregon specifically, it was a Pinot Noir, wasn't it? That did the Judgment of Paris. Yes. That's what I think we've talked about that on the podcast before. I get excited about it because the wine history like that, those pillars of the industry that changed the way that we look at different wines and different growing locations and appellations forever. You guys are directly in that area.
Whenever you know, the American wine industry that we all reside in can kind of give a little middle finger to the French, I'm okay with it. It's all good on my end. I think hopefully I don't offend anybody with French descent, but that's my stance anyway.
I think more often than not, it's a friendly rivalry.
Absolutely.
I think the folks that don't take it friendly probably don't listen to this podcast.
So. And hey, we're drinking fermented grape juice for a living. Come on, we got to have a little fun with it too, right?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm really fortunate with Foley Family Wines and having an owner like Bill that sees trends ahead of time, because he bought this brand when Oregon wines were really kind of just getting rolling in terms of national distribution. And now we have that. Now we have the Four Graces. So we have these different avenues to play in. We've got a new SKU called El Pino Club that does a single vineyard Pinot Noir from the Willamette Valley. So there's just a lot that I'm very fortunate to be able to sell and represent, and have Imperial sell and represent. And Acrobat is at the forefront of that list.
Well, we're certainly honored to have the opportunity, and we hope that we do well and sell a lot. Let's just sell a lot.
Absolutely.
If you're dealing with any kind of objections, stuff that you might see in the market, do you have any go-to strategies or go-to conversations that you like to have that has an effect on customers? Or
I think there's a few different ones. One is, hey, I've got a retailer that only puts up wines with 90 plus points, right? So our Pinot Gris, our Chardonnay, and our Pinot Noir all have 90 or 91 point scores from various publications. Our rosé does not yet, but that's simply because we've not gotten the review on the new vintage yet. So hopefully we'll get a nice score there too. So that's kind of an easy one. I was working an on-premise account a few years back in Michigan, and the classic objection in on-premise is, I don't want wine that sits in retail or sits on a grocery store shelf. And this one buyer gave me the best answer I think I've ever heard in my career. She said, I'm not opposed to wine that is in a grocery store. I'm opposed to wines that are stacked to the ceiling on an end cap in a grocery store. So that could be, say, the Mayomis, the Kim Crawfords, the Kendall Jacksons of the world that everybody knows is stacked to the ceiling. Santa Margarita, the list goes on and on. So while, you know, Acrobat Pinot Gris may be in your neighborhood Meijer or your neighborhood Kroger, we're not stacked to the ceiling. So I think there's a good avenue to say, hey, you may want something that people have heard of on your wine list, but it is not easily found on every end cap in the great state of Michigan. I think that's a great objection for on-premise that came from a buyer, frankly. If there's a retailer that says, hey, I'm not so sure, I would say that these wines are delicious for under $15, and the general consuming public are spending between $15 and $25 right now on a bottle of wine. And it's really the only price segment that's growing in the wine industry at the moment. We all know how hard it is out there. So we got wines that are fun, that you can drink on a Tuesday or a Saturday, that have a great label, that have a price point that's working. Why not give it a shot and see what happens? Because some of those old other brands that are on every end cap are getting tired, and their trends reflect it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then additionally, what's your favorite point of sale to see out in the market regarding Acrobat?
I don't want to get in trouble here, but I think case cards are going the way of the dodo, and that dates me as an old man dad reference, but I think those are kind of going away. I love just seeing Scorneckers or MIRs. I think those are the most effective. We all shop regularly. We all have a lot of things to do. I don't need a bunch of signs telling me, but if I see save $24, that's money in my pocket. That's a good way to do it. Or, hey, there's 92 points. That's good. That must be good because some reviewer said it. Let's go grab it and go out there and go from there. So Hannah, don't scorn me from the POS conversation, but I want to see those neckers up wherever possible, because those are silent salesmen when we're not in the stores or the steward is you know, not working on a Saturday. So those to me are the most effective.
I'll add right on to that and just say shelf talkers all the way. So you have great accolades. They should always be on the shelf. Because if somebody's walking up and they're looking in the organ section and Acrobat has its 91 points right there, front and center, that's probably one they're going to pick. So it's the silent sellers, like the shelf talkers, and like you said, Neckers and all those that I think always help sell.
Yep, for sure. I've done a few sales meetings with the groups, and I am always so impressed with the level of engagement of the Imperial sales team and how much they want to grow with not just Acrobat, but the whole Foley portfolio. So I'll just leave it with, if there's anything that I can do for anyone that's listening, I am happy to. Please reach out. You can reach out to Jacob. You can reach out to Hannah. They all have my contact info. I think I've left my card in every office at least 100 times so far. But anything I can do to help you all out, I'm happy to. And Jacob, if you had me, I would be happy to do another one of these with other brands within the Foley portfolio if you're willing and able. So I appreciate the time to talk Acrobat. Go sell, go have a bottle this weekend and good selling.
Absolutely. And I the answer is yes. You can absolutely join us again. I would love to do the whole Foley portfolio. I think that'd awesome. Be a wonderful time. And thank you, Hannah, for joining us. It has been a pleasure having you.
Thank you, guys.
And thank you for tuning into another episode of Imperial Beverage Presents Another Round. Until next time, cheers.
Cheers.